We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
I want to ask you to get your Bibles today, and we're going to go to two places. One, we won't be in very long. It'll be a quick look. And then we're going to go over to the other place, which will be a little bit longer. So the quick look is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, but the longer look is 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18. All right, so go there. Can you go to both of those places? Amen? You guys can do two things at once, right? I know for some of us that's a big ask, all right? But we want to go to two places this morning. Well, the thing of it is, it's getting close to Christmas now. How many of you like Christmas time? Can I see all the people who love Christmas? Do we have any humbugs in the house? People are like, nah. Okay, God bless your heart. We'll pray for you. All right. I heard on the radio this morning that $9.6 billion was spent this weekend on Christmas shopping. $9.6 billion. Most of that occurred on Black Friday. $1 billion that had some shopping that was actually done on Thanksgiving morning, which was about another $3 billion that was done worldwide, mostly here in the United States, which was a total now of, they're estimating, about $12 billion. Folks, that's a lot of money that was spent on Christmas. And there's so much to be said about that. But one of the hardest things to do, and every pastor knows this, that there are a few dates on the calendar that are always a challenge. And today is one of them. And then always the Sunday after the Christmas season is over, and as we kind of get through New Year's and everybody's got to get back to work, it's just more difficult for us to stay focused. Some of us are coming in preoccupied with how much money we just spent on Thanksgiving, how the scale's going to read come tomorrow morning. I mean, we're preoccupied with a lot of things. We come in, our minds are all over the place. We've had a long weekend. How many of you spent it with family and friends? Can I see your hands? How many of you are glad you're not with your family and friends anymore? Amen? Okay, just be honest. You know, sometimes after, listen, just be honest, sometimes after you've been around your family for a while, you're like, can we just go home and be with our own family? We love you, but we want to love you more from a distance, all right? I understand that. Sometimes we're just distracted, we come to church preoccupied, and then the kids are excited about Christmas. How many of you put your tree up? Can I see your hands? Yeah. And my son and I yesterday, we decorated the front of our house. It was God's will for him to climb on the roof and hang the lights. Imagine that. And I did a great job supervising, a little more this way, a little more that way. And he was at the pitch of our second story house, and I said, Michael, if you fall, I'll catch you. And he said, yeah, right, Dad. And Angela came out, she looked up, she said, oh, dear Lord, and she just walked right back in. And I said, what's the matter? She said, I'll come out when it's done. So many people are just focused on Christmas and Christmas morning and presents. Parents are focused on when the kids go back to school. I mean, we get it. I get it as a pastor. But the thing is, the closer we get to Christmas, it seems like the more we anticipate it. How many of you remember when you were little and you looked forward to Christmas morning, right? Now, how many of you are like, oh boy, it's another day. I'm a year older, right? Buzz. I know for some of us, the excitement of Christmas is not what it once was, but in general, there is typically a anticipation and an excitement as we approach Christmas. Friends, I just want to say this morning as I wind out this series on heaven, that if we could just for today, and maybe not just today, but if we could carry this thought through with us as we leave, if we could just see past all of the heartache and all of the heartbreak that is in this world, and if we could turn our gaze to the glory that is awaiting for us, if we could catch a glimpse this morning through God's Word, I promise you, we would never, ever live this life the same way again. I want you to listen to what Paul says in Romans 8:18 when he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not what? Worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One of the great hymn writers, Fanny Crosby, who many of you know and love her songs. As you know, she was blind as a young girl, infancy, they think, and she was blind her whole life. She wrote hundreds and hundreds, literally thousands of hymns. In fact, here's this for you just to think about it. Because she was a female, a woman, and she was writing hymns, they wouldn't let her publish some of her hymns under her female name, so she had to come up with a pseudonym, male. a male name. So many of the hymns that are even out there today, they're still trying to track down and figure out, was that actually written by Fanny Crosby? And she said that she was very glad she was born blind, because she said, when I die, the first face I'll ever see will be the face of Jesus Christ. And she wrote so many wonderful, powerful hymns, and she seemed in her blindness to have a view of heaven that I just don't seem to think many people have today. And one of the songs that she wrote was called My Savior First of All. And most of you probably know this song. Some of you may not. And here's what it says, that when my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, first to my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and listen, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face and the luster of His kindly beaming eye, how my full heart will praise Him for His mercy, love, and grace that prepared for me a mansion in the sky. Through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. And listen, in the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. And then she wrote this in the chorus, I shall know Him, I shall know Him. And redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him. Want to say it with me? By the prints of the nails in His hands. Church, as believers, we should be so preoccupied with heaven and live in great anticipation of going there, that we would somehow have the heart, if you will, that Fanny Crosby had, that just longed to be in glory with her Savior. Now, I want you to go with me as soon as you're done writing. I know many of you have to get those blanks filled in, or your Sunday is incomplete. I understand that, all right? And some of you try to work ahead as if you're going to get a star, okay? So one of these weeks, I'm just going to put lines on the back of the bulletin, and you're not going to know what to do, okay? But I want you to, first of all, let's all go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. And if you're there, would you say amen? It says, for now, and don't you like that? For now, here's how we see. We see through a glass, how? Darkly. But then, as Fanny Crosby was saying, face to face. And by the way, she wrote another song called Face to Face, I Shall Behold Him. She wrote another song that was just about this, right out of this text. Face to face, I shall behold Him. Now I know in part, all right, and this is what we've been learning about. We talked about this. If you haven't been here the last 4 weeks, I'm sorry, okay? I cannot go back and undo. You can jump online. They're all online. I've had so many of you come up and say, are you going to talk about this? Are you going to hit this again? And we've put the sermons out there online. First installment, but as we talked about last week, for now I know in part, we've had the first installment of what's coming given to us, but then shall I know, even as also I am what? Known. Now go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18, picking up on the thoughts that we left off of last week, where we leave this world and we head up into heaven. Our body stays here. We're waiting for the new body. How many of you are excited about your new body? Amen. All right, but we're not getting it yet. All right, not yet, but it's coming. 1 Thessalonians 4, if you're there, say amen. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's where we get the words rapture. We learned this last week, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here's the phrase, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, verse 18, I want you to understand this. Wherefore, in light of everything I just said, what are we supposed to do? What's that next word? Let's all say it together. What are we supposed to do? Comfort one another with these words. So when you're having a bad week, when you're having a bad day, when you're ready to just take your kids and say, whose kids are these anyways, right? When you're at that moment and you're looking at your spouse and you're like, why can't we get along, okay? Comfort one another with these words. I said that to one of my staff members. We were talking about something, having a hard time, and I said, but you know what? None of this will be a big issue in heaven. Amen? None of this strife, none of these things. Comfort one another. Hey, there's a better day coming. Amen? I love what D.L. Moody said. D.L. Moody said this, the thought of heaven has cheered the soul of many believers. Some say that we are fools to believe in heaven. But to deny heaven is to deny Jesus Christ, for He came from heaven. It is to place our departed loved ones in the cold, dark grave. It is to deprive millions of Christians of the greatest hope they have. To deny heaven is to equal to murder, for it kills hope. To thievery, for it robs joy. To slander, because it calls God. Folks, I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to heaven. Amen? And the reality is this, that the greatest joy of heaven is that we will be forever with the Lord. And we take comfort in this. And we will forever be in the presence of God, and we will be in perfect fellowship with Him and every other believer. Now, I want to say this because I realize that this is maybe your reality this morning, because it certainly has been mine in the past. And I will be transparent with you and tell you this, that there have been times in my life, and I'm sure there's somebody here this morning that's going to feel the way I'm about to describe, which is it seems as if sometimes God is just not close to you. We were just singing about that. Lord, I want to be near to you. And you know what the scriptures tell us? That we are to draw near to who? To God. And you know, sometimes we pray and we seek God and we're on our knees and we're asking other people to pray for us, and it just seems as if God is silent. When you read about some of the people in the scriptures, there were long periods for some of them where it just seemed as if God was silent. Joseph, 13 years in a prison, he didn't hear a word from God. David, months after months after months, and he cried out, he said, Lord, my soul is vexed. He said, I just want, and I'm paraphrasing, I just want to hear from you. Folks, I want to remind you today that although sometimes in this life God seems distant, you will never have that feeling in heaven. You will never have that moment where you think, where is God and why can't I hear Him? You will be in unbroken and unending fellowship with Him. One of the great preachers and commentators of our day said this, eternal, immediate fellowship with God, intimate, unbroken, satisfying, personal communion with Him. What a thrill. Amen? Unbroken. So as we close this series on heaven, I want to leave us with just two parting things that I think we should be reminded of and think about. Number one, we will not be bored in heaven, okay? We will not be bored in heaven. Let's all say it together, ready? We will not, us are like, bored in heaven. Now, I just said something that most of us are like, I can't believe you just said that in church. I can't believe you just said we will not be bored in heaven. Now, I know we don't ever want to admit this, but let's just think about some of the pictures that we have of heaven in our mind. Most of us imagine us sitting on a cloud, a little bit chubby, with some undersized wings that aren't really going to get us very far. And we're playing what instrument? What? A harp. Like, some of us are like, I would rather play the drums in heaven. That would be my instrument of choice. I would rather play the organ, or I would rather play whatever, okay? The concept of us sitting on a cloud, a little bit chubby in a diaper, with a halo, with undersized wings, stroking a harp. If that's your picture of heaven, and you think that's what heaven's going to be like, you are way off base. Completely and utterly off base. I mean, heaven is where we will worship God forever. And for some of us, that's very difficult to imagine. I mean, a lot of people are bored in worship. Now, I'm often honest with you about myself. I've shared my stuff with you, told you things I've struggled with. I'm going to turn the tables for just a second, so put your seatbelts on, okay? Oftentimes, and you can talk to those who are on the platform, sometimes the view from this angle is very different. And there are some times when I have often wondered, wow, I wonder if some of us are even actually interested in being here. Because we look like in the worship service, pardon the expression, we are totally bored out of our mind. This is the last place we want to be. We're not interested in being here. And our minds are totally somewhere else. And then the pastor stands up and says, hey, we're going to worship God forever in heaven. And we're like, woohoo, yay, just what I want to do. Just what I want to do, you know. And some of us are saying, well, I don't sing very well. You'll sing really well in heaven. You say, well, I don't get along with people. You'll get along perfectly with everybody in heaven, okay? Some of us, did you know that? Shake the same three hands and go right back to our car. Did you know we don't give awards for leaving the building in a timely manner? Did you know that? It doesn't happen around here. Let me just say that worship in heaven will be unlike anything we have ever really experienced here on this earth, and that's because you're going to be perfect. You take the greatest worship experience you've ever had, and you will not even come close to what is waiting for us. And here's the greatest news. You will want to participate, and you will be involved in the worship service. All of us will. No one's going to say like, well, you know, I'm staying home today. You are at home. You're not going to get up and go, man, I got a really bad headache. You're not going to have a headache. Amen? No pulling teeth to get people to sing or participate in service. No staring at your phone or other people. No distractions. No coming to church preoccupied or coming to church late. No past sin stopping you from praising God. No relational strife or tension. No staying up too late Saturday and too tired to worship on Sunday. No issue between you and your spouse or the kids. How many of you know that on Sunday is the only day you have car trouble? You can't get out to the car, right? No more sports that take away from the worship of God on Sunday. No more vacation. No more temporary worldly thing getting in the way of worship. No being stuck in the hospital or hospice or sick. We'll all be there and we'll all be worshiping God. And church, it's going to be awesome. Listen to this glimpse of heaven in Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12. John said, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now listen, you've heard me say this before, heaven is going to be a very loud place. And cried with a what kind of voice? That was a little... They're saying, cried with a what kind of voice? Loud voice. And here's what they're saying, loudly. They're saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces. And what did they do? Worshipped God. And here's what they said, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And let's all say that last word. Amen. Write this down. Worship. It's what we're going to want to do because ultimately it's what we were created for and we will enjoy doing it for how long? Forever. You will finally do exactly what you were created for and you will do it forever, for all of eternity. In heaven, we will be preoccupied with praise and worship. And we will be overwhelmed and overtaken by all that is there. Listen, it's going to take an eternity for us to praise God. Now, what we find in the Scriptures is that we don't pray in heaven. You say, why? Because we don't have any needs. Amen? We're perfect. Nothing to ask for. We simply just praise Him for all of eternity. A great commentator of yesteryear, I clipped this out, made a photocopy and read this, and I thought I'd share it with you. Here's what he said. The sole justification for praising God is that God is praiseworthy. We do not praise God because it does us good, though no doubt it does. Nor do we praise Him because it does Him good, for in fact it does not. Praise is thus strictly ecstatic in the sense that it takes us wholly out of ourselves, and it is purely and solely directed upon God. Praise is entirely directed upon Him. It takes our attention entirely off of ourselves and concentrates it entirely upon Him. That is the value of praise, and praise will be rising out of a pure motive, which will be pure love. Our love for God will be perfect, and we will love the Lord our God with all of our what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. We will love Him perfectly in a transparent, manifest, luminous worship rising out of the perfection of love. And we will long to do this for all, church, of eternity. Number two, not only will we not be bored in heaven, but piggybacking on that same thought, we will be rewarded in heaven. We will be rewarded in heaven. Now, we take a little bit of a twist here because I don't know what you think about heaven and I don't know what you think about your rewards, okay? But when you think about heaven, you think about the mansion that's waiting for you. Am I right? You think about that. You think about the presence of Christ. You think about being around believers all the time, fellowshipping with them. But oftentimes we think about rewards. And the way we're wired down here in this life is we tend to think that bigger is what? Bigger is better. And more is the answer. And let's get more. And let's have lots of things and lots of stuff. And so for some of us, we're thinking, if we're not careful, we're thinking, when I get to heaven, my mansion is going to be so much bigger than yours. I'm going to have this awesome mansion, and I know you're there, but you're going to kind of have like a little shack compared to mine, because I really love Jesus, and I really served Him, and I got this awesome mansion that's waiting for me, and your mansion is not going to be... Some of us are thinking about, wow, I'm going to have this awesome chariot. You're going to have like one horse. I'm going to have like 12, okay? And we have these mindsets about all the things that we're getting. It's not going to be who gets the biggest harp in heaven, okay? That's not it. These are not the rewards. And some of us think, well, I'm going to get all of these crowns from Jesus. Well, you should study those passages out, because it's not what you think. We are going to receive an incorruptible crown, but the crowns that are cast down come off of the heads of the elders. We saw that. Paul talked about the inheritance incorruptible. That's the inheritance of Jesus Christ Himself. Our rewards may not be what we think. So in heaven, let's get a good understanding of this morning. In heaven, our rewards are based around the fact of two things, that we're going to rule and reign with God. Now, here is where I have to be very honest with you and tell you that as you study the Scriptures and you get to this part about heaven, there is, and I think with good purpose and good reason, God has not given us a lot of detail as He has given us on other subjects. So let's just get these few little things down so that we can understand about, number one, we're not going to be bored in heaven at all, but number two, we'll be rewarded. What does that look like? What am I going to get in heaven? Now, some of us have to understand very quickly, we're not living this life and doing things so that we get these nice rewards in heaven. We're not going to go, man, I got this awesome heavenly bank account. What are you going to spend your money on in heaven? You don't need anything. You're not going to be like, hey, I need a new suit. No, you don't. Let's go out to eat. You don't need to eat. You only eat for pleasure. Okay? So the whole concept of like storing up money, it just doesn't make any sense. In fact, it's counterintuitive to what the Scriptures teach. So understand this, first of all, we are rewarded with responsibilities. We are rewarded with responsibilities. If you think you're going to get a fat wallet and a big bank account and drive around in a heavenly Porsche or something like that, okay? Not going to happen. We are rewarded with responsibilities. The Scripture makes mention of the fact that, listen, we are going to serve God. Now, this undergirds the whole concept of not being bored in heaven. Worshiping and serving. Revelation 22 says this, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it." And notice this last little tagline here says, "And His servants shall what? Serve Him." Which, by the way, if you're not into serving Him now, what makes you think you're going to want to do it when you get to heaven? If you're not into worshiping Jesus Christ now, let me just say this as lovingly as I can. God does not drag anybody kicking and screaming into heaven. He's not. He's not going to drag you into heaven, kick, ha, ha, ha. He's not going to do it. If you don't like worship now, you're not participatory, it's not something you enjoy doing, that could be for a lot of reasons, but I want to admonish us today in the Scripture that this is what heaven is about, worshiping and serving Jesus. And if you're not into that now, what makes you think that suddenly you will when you get to heaven? You see, this is very clear in the Scriptures. You say, well, what exactly does service mean? What do we have to? Do I have to work in the nursery in heaven? No, because there's no babies, okay? We understand that. We often just associate service with something in church. Am I going to vacuum the carpet? No, because there's no dirt in heaven. And all the ladies said, hey, there's no dirt in heaven. You don't have to clean anything, okay? By the way, you're not going to be hunting in heaven either, okay? Just so you know, all right? There's no hunting in heaven. Now, you say, what do we do? Pastor, tell me, I want to know what we're doing. All right, you ready for the answer? It doesn't say. You're like, what do you mean? Well, it says that His servants shall serve Him. Now, last week I told you to put your floaties on because we went out into some choppy water. Do you remember that? We're going to go there again for just a second, so floaties on, okay? The word service here in Revelation, and when you read about the parables of heaven in Matthew, the two words are identical. The two words serve. If you do a simple word study in the Greek, you don't have to be a Bible seminary graduate to do this. You should own a concordance, and you should own something that helps you break down a word. You don't have to go to college to figure that out, all right? You can take those two words and you will see that they are synonymous with each other. And the whole concept of the word serve carries with it, listen carefully, the idea of a priestly service, a duty that is performed in the honor of one in authority. This is what a pastor does. This is what a priest did in the Old Testament. They performed a service. They served the king And in the parables, do you remember the guy went out and he's like, okay, I'm going to start hiring. And I'm going to start hiring now. And he looked at those. And those who were faithful, he gave more responsibility to. Do you remember the ones he gave 5 talents and 10 talents and 2 talents? And what did the one guy do with his talents? He buried him, didn't he? He's like, oh, I just want to bury him. The other guy's like, man, I'm into multiplication. He had kind of this entrepreneurial mindset. And he's like, okay, I'm going to take mine. I'm going to double it. And the Lord, in the text, always rewarded the one that was taking what was given and doing what with it? Multiplying it. The one that took it and buried it and did nothing with it, that just sat on his hands and said, I'm not doing anything with it, he rebuked that one. Now, here's what's interesting. The two words serve declare for us responsibility, both in the parables and here in the text. And those who were faithful in the parables were rewarded after that time trial in the parable, that time that they were given, they were then rewarded again when the master came. Do you guys remember that story? The master came back. There was a period of time he came back. He called the rolls. And let me tell you something. There's going to be a heavenly roll call one day. And God's going to look at everything you did. He's going to look at everything I did. Hey, listen carefully. He's going to look at everything you were given. Your money, your talent, your time, your gifts, all of it. Every bit of it. He's going to look at it and say, how'd you use that for my glory? Your marriage, your relationships, everything. He's going to say, how'd that look for my glory? So without inference, we can make the connection that what we are rewarded with there in heaven will have direct bearing on how we were, mark this down, how we were faithful here. Because your faithfulness here greatly determines your rewards there. What we do now impacts our future. Our capacity for rewards greatly depends on our faithfulness now. Now some of us are like, I don't care about that, I just want to get to heaven. You will care greatly. In fact, to have that flippant attitude now should put a question mark over why you're saying that. Because those who truly love the King and those who truly love Jesus truly have a heart that wants to what? Serve Him. They want to take the things that they've been given, not for their selfish gain. We're stewards. Everything we have, our money, our house, everything we have, it all belongs to who? So how you treat that, how you take care of that, how you use that is a reflection of ownership. Revelation 22:12 says, and behold, I come quickly. And, notice carefully, my reward is what? And then what is he going to do? Look at the text. To give every man according as his what? Work shall be. See, are you preaching a works-based salvation? No, this is way after that. This is after we're in heaven. We don't work to get saved, but as a result of our salvation, we perform faith works. Amen. Because we are saved, what comes out of us is a faith that actually works and shows that we're saved. And what God is saying here in the text is, we think about heaven, our reward is greatly based on how we live this life. And so I would just simply ask us this morning, how does your faithfulness look today? Because you see, I know this. There are some people who are so faithful and they're behind the scenes and they never get any credit for anything. But one day they're going to stand before God and God's going to reward them publicly and openly before all. And He's going to say, here was a choice servant who labored away. Here was a person who loved me. I think about the lonely missionary on the mission field. I think about the single mom who's just fighting to get by and she's faithful to Jesus and she loves her kids and she loves her family and she's making sure that she's doing all that she can. Or the single dad who's hurting, but he's here in church and he's serving and he's faithful. And he's willing to do whatever it is. I think about the young couple who look at their finances and say, you know what, honey, we're going to trust God. And we're going to do what's right. We want to be faithful. I think about the couple or the individual who gets saved and they say, you know what, Lord, I don't have a lot, but you know what, you can use me. I'll serve wherever you want. If I got to sweep the driveway, serve in the nursery, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll be faithful in that. You know, the people who are standing in the limelight, I don't think are going to get the greatest rewards, to be quite honest with you. I think it's the unseen soul who serves Jesus out of a heart of love and faithfulness. He's going to be rewarded or she's going to be rewarded so openly, we're all going to be blown away and devastated. We're rewarded with responsibility. What responsibility? Well, here's the reality. Some of us are here, and the truth about our life is we step back from responsibility. We don't want responsibility. We don't want it. We're just like, nah, I don't want it. In heaven, do you know what you do with responsibility? You step up and serve in it perfectly. And God's got a whole plan in place for those of us who are going to serve Him. Number two, or letter B, we are rewarded with authority. We are rewarded with authority. So it's not just responsibility. What's the second thing? Authority. Responsibility means that we have authority of some sort. And God has some plans laid out. It's clear in the text. The extent of our faithfulness here will correlate to the extent of our authority there. Our authority given to us by God in heaven will be for His purposes. And maybe we're going to, when He says rule and reign in the text, now we have to be careful because God's word isn't clear, but how many of you know that there's other planets and other places and other things that God has created? Amen? Okay? The Bible says we'll rule and reign with Him. So how does that look? I don't know. That's what's going to be so marvelous about heaven. There's things we just can't understand. But I do know this. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm not going to read from it, or you can write it down for the gold star this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talks about the fact that we will judge the world and we will judge angels, that we will rule and reign with God for all of eternity. That's authority. And God is saying, I'm going to give you this as part of your reward. You see, heaven is not going to be a place of boredom, church, but a place of blessing. It will be a time of praise and worship for all of eternity, and we will be forever with our Lord and Savior. Now let's think about these two things. Number one, we'll not be bored in heaven. And number two, we'll be rewarded in heaven. Of all the things that we think about when we think about heaven, and as we approach Christmas, there's a lot of anticipation. I want us to think about heaven this morning in a brand new light. And I want us to think about the fact that God's greatest act of love and mercy and grace was wrapped up in the most precious treasure heaven had to offer, Jesus. In fact, God gave us the most precious treasure heaven had, and that is Jesus. And God, in His greatest act of giving and His greatest act of love and His greatest act of mercy and grace, He said, I'm going to give you my Son. Jesus is the greatest gift, the greatest present ever given to man. Amen? One of the songs that we sing says that it was heaven's treasure that was crucified. Folks, would you think for a moment about all that Jesus left now? Perfect harmony with the Father. Beautiful splendor of heaven. The glory and the majesty that was His, the worship that was taking place. And He left all of that, church. He left every bit of that. And He came here, and He came here to die, and He came here so that you and I could have a relationship with the Father. But it was a sacrifice, wasn't it, church? He came here to redeem the souls of sinful men, to start the perfection process, and to make it possible for us to join Him for all of eternity in heaven. You see, Jesus knew something, friends, and I want us to think about this. Jesus knew what heaven was like. Have you ever been somewhere and you just thought, boy, I really wish my wife or my son or my daughter, or I really wish my dad or my mom would love this place. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you go somewhere and the first thought is, wow, I really wish they could be where? Here. And you come back and you're like, you should have seen it. And you start telling them, and it was like this, it was like this, it was like this. And they're just looking at you like, okay. And pretty soon you say these words. You just have to what? Experience it for yourself. You have to see it to what? Can you imagine how Jesus must have felt then? When He walked the face of this earth and He started to try to tell people about heaven, and they're just looking at Him with that face like, what? You see, Jesus knew what heaven was like. And He knew the only way for us to get there was for Him to come here, ultimately go there, so that we could be with the Father forever. And that's heaven. You see, heaven is more than a place. And it's more than perfection. It's to be forever in the presence of our Savior, the one who made all of it possible so that we might spend an eternity with Him in heaven.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.